I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
In 5 years.
I hope to still be working for you, sir.
Your pen game is ridiculous.
You have notebooks full of songs, Pete. How badly do you want this?
You don't have a musical bone in your body, and you sure as hell can't sing. What kind of music are we talking about here?
Them rap.
Rapping.
Rhyming, I'm seeing, you know?
Yo, Dumbo! Get out in the street.
What's the game with the clock over?
This is it.
This is Bro on the World Film Beat, Breaking Glass, in my final report from Cannes 2017, Cannes Redux, and these are the top films outside the main competition. My colleagues have gone home long ago, but I'm still wandering the Croisset here at Cannes, selecting the smaller films that over the next year will be released in fits and starts. What follows is a reckoning of what not to miss, what is eminently missable, and some oddities and one-shots, in films that are then run in Paris after the festival at the Forum des Images, the Reflet Medici, and the Cinémathèque. If it appeared that the traditional art house and commercial cinema may be under attack through streaming services like Netflix and through television, there was still at Cannes a healthy outpouring of films that combined a social realism heightened by genre cinema influences, either by Hollywood directly, the occasionally Tarantino-esque Bulgarian film Directions, and the Martin Scorsese executive-produced Italian migrant film A Chiambra, or by global cinema genres, the 70s spaghetti western look and feel of the Indonesian Marlena, The Murderer in Four Acts. A dominant pattern then for Cannes political cinema, circa 2017, a pattern that, despite Netflix and television still has life in it, is a foundation of Belgian filmmakers the Dardenne brothers, multiply screened and honored at Cannes with such films as Rosetta, The Promise, and 2 Days, One Night, up-close following of down-and-out characters overlaid with crime and mystery genre elements enhancing the mood. Indeed, the Dardennes produced one of the most challenging films of the festival, Loveless, a devastating critique of consumer society in Russia. So this is the best of the rest. Directions. Posaki is the Bulgarian word for this film about the breakdown of social relations in Sofia, the capital, in the post-Soviet, post-capitalist era. The directions are the traversing of the capital by cab drivers, whose series of mostly nocturnal encounters collectively describe a society in turmoil where fellow feeling has collapsed. The film begins with a besieged driver who has just lost his business and is indebted to the banks, dropping off his daughter at her high school and picking up another teen who claims to be going to see her grandmother, but who is actually a working girl at a luxury hotel where she makes far more than the cab driver. He shoos the girl out of the cab and then assaults the banker who has just doubled his debt in what is just the opening gambit of a series of humiliating encounters between bedraggled, world-weary, but still basically honest drivers and the customers in the classes above who prey on them. A reversal of how the business is usually perceived, more Daniel Blake in the way that the drivers are every men and women of a society on the brink and how they're exploited, than victimizers themselves as in Taxi Driver. Pure Hearts, or Cuori Puri. While the headlines in the Italian cinema are grabbed by fawning and innocuous directors like Paolo Sorrentino, the Academy Award-winning The Great Beauty and HBO's The Young Pope, there is in the belly of this cinema a more socially conscious movement, which knows that in a society with high unemployment and increasing social tensions, crime, as John Huston proclaimed, is just a left-handed form of human endeavor. We've seen Gomorrah, the film and television series, and last year's Cannes entry Fiori or Flower, Romeo and Juliet set in a Milanese prison. This year, we have the Martin Scorsese exec-produced A Chiambra, directed by Jonas Carpignano, who was at Cannes 2 years ago with Mediterranea, an immigrant film focused on the difficult interaction once arrived of sub-Saharan Africans with Italian locals. More in line with last year's Fiori is Pure Hearts, Chiori Puri, which opens with its male and female youths pursuing each other, and what we learn is one of them trying to catch the shoplifting other, but which seems to imply their passion, which in the course of the film will triumph over the mixed backgrounds of working-class born-again Catholic, underclass petty criminality, and Roma caught between the two. Another Cannes eruption of a movement worth celebrating. Wind River. The rape and murder of an 18-year-old girl on a Wyoming Indian reservation is the occasion for examination of the inner lives of those caught on the rez, and a socially interesting and relevant indictment of contemporary outside forces which penetrate that historical misery. The trail of the murder lead expert hunter Jeremy Renner and inexperienced but committed FBI agent Elizabeth Olsen, paired previously as Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch in The Avengers, apropos of the Pine Ridge protests, to an energy company whose shadowy army of mercenaries impose themselves on the natives. First directing effort by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote the script for last year's Cannes entry Hell in High Water, about righteous bank robbers in the impoverished Texas panhandle. Concluding sequence of Wind River, with two Native American fathers, one in war paint, attempting to assuage their sorrow and guilt, proves this to be more than just a capable crime film, though it is certainly that in spades. Best film of the festival, which was on our opening clip, was Patty Cakes, a Jersey musical that celebrates both the resilient spirit of rap and the place of music in sustaining working class cultures within the state's morass of chemical plants that has all but left those workers for dead. Danielle McDonald leads a multi-culti gang of misfits that includes her mother and grandmother, as her dreams of music industry stardom are first compared to her stark bartending reality, and then in a small way materialize. The film is far from naive about the tensions at play in a white rapper, but ultimately settles for a view of the liberatory quality of the music, no matter where or by who it is practiced. The film is also, with its soundtrack that includes Springsteen, Heart, and Rhythm and Blues, a reminder of the epics of music that have invigorated and sustained all kinds of working class cultures in Jersey through the ages. A musical of a different color was Bruno Dumont's Jeannette, The Childhood of Joan of Arc, an origin story which features the preteen Joan moshing to punk rhythms with a duo of nuns in her sheep fields. The film was at first outrageous, especially in that it recast this legend, which is the mainstay of a deep-seated French right wing. However, as is often the case with bad boy Dumont, what starts out as rebellious soon turns in its own way respectful, so that all the punk moshing in the end simply reinvigorates, with its own highly religious overlay, rather than truly rewrites, the legend of the warrior girl. Less than meets the eye, although its shot setup is actually quite stunning, is another Netflix entry, Bushwick, a supposedly red state, blue state fable about an attack on the now hipster community of Bushwick, Brooklyn, by extreme Republican outside forces. The film purports to be about liberal, multicultural values threatened by the primitive rest of the country, but is actually a vision of paranoia by its blonde heroine that is closer to an accurate portrayal of the mentality of the white settler artist class that is now colonizing Bushwick as the shock troops of gentrification. Stunning long takes in the battlefield scenes cannot save the film from its limited, or lack of, perspective. Worse yet is the Italian film Dopo la Guerra, After the War, about a former radical in the largely unrecounted civil war in Italy in the 70s, now in the 80s exiled in France, and about to be repatriated to stand trial for his political crimes. The film is told through the perspective of his teenage daughter, who tells him at one point to stop talking about politics and concentrate on her needing blue jeans. There's nothing wrong with a teenage coming-of-age story, but here it is used as a battering ram in a very middle-class perspective to pulverize the radical, inattentive dad. In the consumerist mind of the film, genes are more important than politics, and they take a back seat to principles. As you might say, in a middle-class consumerist culture, blue jeans are what is left of principles. An oddity of the festival was the Portuguese Fabrica de Nada, the Nothing Factory, about a group of workers trying to decide whether to make a stand as their factory is about to be closed. The film is dead on in its trio of suits who explain to the workers why they cannot understand the larger dynamics of factories closing, an opinion which is undercut in the workers' later pointed discussions about the injustices of capitalist globalization from the point of view of those left behind. Unfortunately, as is often the case with a new Portuguese cinema, though the subject matter is devoutly to be wished, the slow grinding presentation and the lack of movement make this not a triumph but a trying engagement with a committed cinema. Here the form, rather than enhancing or expanding, restrains and dilutes the content. That concludes Cannes 2017. It's time for me to leave the Croisette and shuffle off to Buffalo, or at least shuttle back to Paris. This is Bro on the World Film Beat signing off. As usual, thanks to my engineer, Sean Dwyer, and to the Arts District team for their help in compiling this report.
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute.